The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
He's fired up. His mouth won't stop moving like a duck's ass. Kip Kiefer, I love it. Need to know. You just heard the show right here on Tony Curry Radio. I don't know if we play these back-to-back Kiefer and Curry show, another show where the rest of us kind of get together and talk about things that you and I want to talk about. You just did a fabulous show on the entire takeover, if you will, of Venezuela. And, of course, Maduro, the president and his wife. Who I guess this morning, as we do this show here on the 5th of January, is before a federal court up in New York, where all the famous people hang out, P. Diddy and all those people.
Exactly. And the communist mayor who just got sworn in.
I will say this. with him putting his thumbs up and giving the peace sign and stuff, I'm not sure if he even knew what was going on at that time. But, I mean, he was such a cool customer. Sometimes you look at people like this, and the guy's an absolute monster. And he looks like a big-ass teddy bear, and he's giving out the peace sign and thumbs up. And you're like, do you even realize what the hell you're about ready to go through?
When's the last time, Tony, what audacity this guy has? Mm. When's the last time a mayor of a city has condemned an action of a president? The mayor of New York has no standing in talking about federal and United States security matters.
No, just shut up.
This is just his socialist pal got wrapped up and taken away, and he's thinking to himself, well, hell, Trump might do this to me. Mm-hmm. So but he comes out and condemns this, and it's just rich to me. I don't hear Mayor Woodfin in Birmingham calling a press conference going, no. I'm outraged by this because Mayor Woodfin said, this isn't my turf.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's because we have 20,000 Venezuelans living here in the Birmingham area too. That are really happy. They're down there in Southside celebrating. And the VP probably needs to be checking at her back door too. She's probably next if she's in a shutter pie hole. Whenever I see something like this and it's freaking people out, I like to get back to basics, and I like to find out more about whatever we're talking about. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of find out more about Venezuela. I know about Venezuela for a long period of time because I took my wife at the time on a second honeymoon to Aruba. Nice. Aruba is not in the hurricane belt at all. It's never been hit by a hurricane. That's why it's so safe, and that's why it's so expensive. But Aruba is 16 miles north of Venezuela. And so I saw several people here in the Birmingham area who are actually down there on honeymoons and stuff, and they're trapped. They can't get out. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's not a bad place to be trapped because the weather there is fantastic. It's beautiful. You can walk around the entire island. There's giant iguanas that are unbelievable. There's goats everywhere. It's like Key West times 10 with less gay people on it. It's just fantastic. It's a beautiful country. But I'm thinking to myself, they were actually talking about, they could actually see the fireworks going off, if you will, the bombs going off from Aruba, which was kind of heralding and kind of scary. But I wanted to find out some more details about Venezuela that I wanted to share with you that I did not know about Venezuela. You ready for some of these?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you realize, well, first of all, that independent journalism has been restricted there for a long period of time. They don't have anybody writing newspapers. Maduro didn't have that, so that hasn't been happening in a long time. I've seen enough of this on the History Channel, but the everlasting storm is there in Venezuela. You know what I'm talking about?
I do not.
It's the most lightning strikes anywhere on the earth in Venezuela. 160 days a year, they get up to 12,000 lightning strikes an hour.
In this area.
If you want to look up, just look up the everlasting storm. It's amazing. And you can sit down there and actually watch it. It happens again more than half of the year. And you can actually put chairs out and you can watch for hours and hours and hours. And it is nonstop lightning.
How
think about
that.
12,000 lightning strikes an hour. Also, the world's highest waterfall is in Venezuela.
I did know that. That's just one of those trivia picked up in a trivia contest somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3,212 feet.
I used to know what it was called. I forgot.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what they pay for a gallon of gasoline in Venezuela?
Oh, it's got to be $12 or $13
per gallon.
Yeah,
in Venezuela, it costs 4 cents a gallon for gasoline in Venezuela.
Really?
It is 1 penny per liter. That was, I looked it up this morning just to see how much it's changed. Obviously, they have the biggest reserves. 17.9% of all oil reserves are out of Venezuela. Think about that. Think about that country. Yeah, think about how small it is. I mean, it's right
and
there.
And I guessed high because inflation is so out of control there. I wonder what a loaf of bread costs.
That, no doubt. That's the one thing that has always been low, and you get gasoline. It is 1 penny per liter, which comes out to about 4 cents a gallon for
it's
gasoline.
It's nice to know that they're not shipping all of their fuel that they refine to China and India and Iran and
more than Saudi Arabia, more than China, more than any other country. 17.9-18% of all of our oil in the world comes out of that Venezuela country, which should say we got more than enough, right? Which went me back in 1950, Venezuela was the richest country in the world per capita.
Yep.
In 1950.
Yep, there you go.
Which, I mean, again, if you just, I mean, you got everything, and they've got iron ore, they've got gold, they've got silver, they've got all these minerals. I mean, they've got more than they need, which is unbelievable. Venezuela's home of the capybara, the world's largest rodent. Have you ever seen that thing?
I've seen a picture of them, and yikes.
It's a nasty look. It looks like a giant New York rat is what it looks like, but it is one. It is big. If you put our heads together, it's unbelievable.
They're gigantic.
Venezuela was the first country ever to abolish the death penalty back in 1863. Hmm. It has not been legal in Venezuela since 1863 in the death penalty, which I thought was very
well. I promise you, this regime has executed the death penalty, and I use executed on purpose there. anybody who's counter to what they want to do, I guarantee you they've disappeared. So it might not be a judicial situation, but there's been plenty of unexplained deaths in Venezuela.
You got that right. Venezuela has won more international beauty pageants than any other country on the face of the earth.
Wow.
Miss Universe, Miss World, Miss whatever, Miss Venezuela. And it makes me think, how many times have you tuned in and you see Miss Venezuela winning something on, but they have won 7 world championships. That is 2 more than any other country. And you think of all the countries in the world, the 120, 130, 140 countries. Venezuela has got the hoochie mamas. They are super hot. Also, and I didn't realize this, and one of the reasons I wanted to do this, and I actually put this show together a few days ago. I tried to do some show prep. I was watching this video of like 65,000 people going to church in Venezuela on Christmas morning, and they were closing the streets down because everyone was on roller skates. This is something in Venezuela. It's a Christian Christmas tradition. Yep. It's about 50% Christian, 50% Protestant. It's about cut down the middle. But Christians on Christmas morning, they close all the streets and everyone puts on roller skates, and they roller skate to church for service, for mass. I don't know why. I don't know how long this has been going on. It's been going on for years.
That's
for
amazing.
Some reason, yes, it's some weird thing that people do that I thought was really, really. Venezuela has its own time zone. It's the Venezuelan standard time, which is called VST. So if you're ever in the VST, then you're in the Venezuela standard time.
So 16 miles away in Aruba, it's a different time zone.
It is
probably.
It is.
That's crazy.
It was weird because my ex, we used to laugh about this. She had a hard time saying Venezuela. She kept saying Venezuela. She would like stick an extra, and I used to bust her ass all the time. And I'd say, say Venezuela. We used to just, it was one of the times that I actually can laugh.
Venezuela.
Okay. She's Venezuela. And I says, Venezuela, honey. And she's like, Venezuela. And I was like, no, Ronald Acuna Jr. is from Venezuela.
Yes, he is. I think there's close to 200 major league players are from Venezuela.
Isn't that amazing? That's so many ball players, and obviously Major League Baseball, or baseball as we put it, is by far the biggest sport. You would think it would be soccer, be anything else, but just some interesting things about this country that I think is really interesting. I think it's amazing when you look at Saudi Arabia, you look at other countries that are well steeped and obviously have oil reserves beyond us even imagining what they could possibly have, and to see basically right now there's 30 million people that live in Venezuela. 11 million out of the 30 are starving.
Oh, I know.
Which is like, and I know that the previous minister or whatever, president or whatever, he was all about trying to help the poor by sinking millions of dollars or billions of dollars from the oil reserves into social programs. And basically it got so corrupt. It got out of control.
And that's what happens in these systems. Look at Minnesota.
You're exactly right. Thank you for bringing that up. Thank you for bringing that up, because we're going to see that in New York. I'm not a political guy, but I've learned enough by listening to Nene Doe and listening to you. But when you throw money at anything and try to fix it by throwing money at people, it never works.
Find a way to misappropriate it, or the better word is steal it. That's they find a way.
Yep.
The Minnesota scandal is just insidious now. They have now detected over 200 fake daycare centers that all applied for funds and nobody did any investigation. They just write them checks for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And the kid that found out
buildings. Yeah, and sometimes no building at all.
The kid that did it too. It was amazing. We're seeing that with a lot of different funding programs that come out of our country. We see it. Well, the physical therapy business is really rich because of it. We have all these buildings. They got physical therapy buildings, and they open the door, and there's one person sitting there behind a phone, and they're like, "Where's all your physical therapy equipment?" And it's like, and they're charging the United States government hundreds of thousands of dollars a month because they're doing all this PT work that they're not doing. Yeah, I mean, it makes me sick. I mean, there's so much money. Here, you know, obviously in the United States, but when I didn't realize Venezuela, and again, I think it's kind of fun to go back and actually learn more about this particular country. I knew it had issues, but I didn't realize that it had more oil reserves than any other country in the world. That's amazing to me.
I didn't know they were the most. I knew they had
17.9%, 18% of all oil comes out of Venezuela. Isn't that crazy?
And it's not a huge landmass. I mean, it's incredible.
No, it really is. And it's beautiful. I mean, it's
I've never been. I know
when we flew to Aruba, and I took my ex-wife, I didn't tell her where I was going, and we had to drive to Atlanta because we had to fly out of Atlanta, and she got in the domestic line, I got in the international line, and I had to make sure she had her passport, the whole nine yards, and I called her work and got her off work and the whole nine yards. It was great. I got me some good asset that week. It was fantastic. Probably the last time I got good ass. Anyway, so we're getting there and we're flying over, and at one point the shining from the ground was so bright and I thought it was bodies of water, and it was actually the roofing of many of the homes in Venezuela, because all they use is this type of shiny cross metal that they get that's super cheap, and they just hammer it on top of their roof and they just leave it right there. And that's how people live. And it's shack after shack after shack. Then you got shacks on top of shacks and shack. And then 15 miles away, you land on this small little strip and you're in Aruba, which is by far, I'd have to look this up, but the last time I went there was about 15 years ago, or maybe 20 years ago now. It was one of the top five wealthiest countries in the world. I mean, it's not touched by hurricanes. It's right outside that belt. It is so incredibly wealthy. Parakeets and parrots come into your room. It's like paradise. It's like heaven. It's unbelievable. It's one of the most beautiful places that I've ever been. Of course, we know the young lady from Mountain Brook, who had her life taken there. And it was so uncool. That actually happened a couple of years after I was there. And it was so uncool to even mention the word Aruba. What was her name? She was out of
Holloway.
Natalie
Holloway.
Natalie Holloway, and that scumbag, but I mean, he was a born silver spoon in the mouth, and of all places to do that, it was Aruba, where you know he'd have to worry about spending money and everything else, and what a tragedy.
You know, and it's funny. This is a little bit of a departure, but I just want to mention it real quick. The recent shooting at Brown University. Isn't it ironic to you that there's only two people killed? That one was a 19-year-old young lady, outstanding student from Mountain Brook High School. Also, I found that to be shocking, that in those isolated incidents, two young girls at the same age from Mountain Brook High School, one killed in that unfortunate terror attack or whatever it was. That wasn't a terror attack. That was a guy who was a loser who blamed Brown and other people for his failures. But I just found that ironic. Mountain Brook in the news again for something you never ever expect.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, the only tie up I can make is just to realize that no matter how rich or how well off you are, that there's crime in Mountain Brook too. I mean, I know if you don't ever want to drive through Mountain Brook, you'll be profiled. I've been profiled many times with a pickup truck with a big dent in the side. You don't want to drive through Mountain Brook.
No.
At 1 o'clock in the morning, you will get pulled over.
It's well policed.
Yes, it is well policed, as it should be.
I used to live right at the border of Mountain Brook and Irondale. Mm-hmm. And
I did too.
You know, just up on that hill. And if, you know, I found out right away, maybe I'm not living in the best place. It's just one of my temporary stops. But the first time I tried to order a pizza, oh, we can't deliver up there. I said, what do you mean? I'm like a half a mile from the Mountain Brook city limits. You can't deliver. No. It's too risky to go up there. Yeah. So good grief.
I lived on South Hall Road, which was also known as Gay Hill. I didn't realize it until after I moved, but evidently there were a lot of gay people that lived in my neighborhood. But the guy who lived to the left of me was Bob Tatarek, who was on offensive/defensive lineman. They played both sides back in the 50s and 60s for the Buffalo Bills.
I remember the name.
The Detroit Lions. Yeah, Bob Tatarek. And his wife's name was Bunny. They were very good friends of ours. And then the guy who lived to my right, his name was Philip. I cannot remember his last name, but he played the 10-year-old boy in To Kill a Mockingbird. With Gregory Peck the first time. And had a daughter who was crazy. Would come over to the house at 3 o'clock in the morning, knock on the door, want to come in. I'm like, no. And wow, she was something else. But yeah, I thought, what are the chances of me living between a guy who played in the National Football League? And back then, you know, you had to work year round. He wasn't, and I'd say, what happened when you broke your fingers? He's like, you kept playing. I mean, we didn't have concussions. We didn't have any of that crap.
You wouldn't come out of the lineup for anything. Someone might take your job.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
Ask Wally Pipp in 1927. He had a stomach ache and he says, told Miller Huggins, the manager, I can't go today. He goes, okay, Gary, get in there.
Yep.
Lou Gehrig played 2,603 or whatever consecutive games. Sorry, Wally Pipp, you're out of here.
One of the great stories in Major League Baseball for sure. But yeah, I never forget that. And he came over. I need to find out what his last name was, but he came over with a scrapbook and it had pictures of him and Gregory Peck. And at the time, of course, he was 10 years old. He didn't.
How about that? That is so cool.
And I said, well, what did you from there? And he goes, I did some TV commercials and did some things. And he was a little out there too, but I was thinking to myself, what are the chances of living next to the guy who played Peter on,
up on Gay Hill,
up on Gay Hill, man. I mean, how about that? I did not know.
That's hilarious.
It was kind of crazy. So some things to know about Venezuela, and I will ask you this because I value your opinion on a lot of these things because I know you do. You're a voracious reader, and you have a lot of people in your inner circle, including Miss Terry, who's really into politics. But
we had an extensive conversation about this.
How are we going to run this country? Obviously, it'd be best if the vice president would just do what we're asking her to do, but it doesn't look like she's going to play nice. But how would we run that country? Because whenever we've tried to go into, and I use Iraq as a prime example, it doesn't work when we go in there and try to infringe or impinge our beliefs, democracy or anything else on people, because they don't know. They don't know. But how are we going to deal with that?
There's a constitutional thing in Venezuela that says, and there's all the legal scholars are arguing about it now, but if something happens to the president, the vice president assumes the office, but there's some obscure passage that calls for a new election within 40 days, which that seems a little, I've got to verify that because I've seen it in two different places, but if she doesn't cooperate right away, it looks like maybe they've got some wiggle room, because you've already mentioned how the Venezuelan people, and right now there's not wild celebrations in the street in Venezuela so much because they're still scared to death that, you know, the thugs that have the secret police and all the people that have monitored their activities, they really haven't cut loose yet. So we don't even know how those people are going to react. But as soon as they see that this is a different deal, I look for if this vice president who stepped in, who goes all the way back to the Hugo Chavez era, the guy who won the original election and was elected a socialist president and took them in this direction, which is the same thing that's happened in every country this has ever taken place. But she goes all the way back to that era as, I guess, kind of a young revolutionary or whatever. So if she doesn't play ball, I look for our government to force special elections, and we'll see what the Venezuelan people decide to do. I wonder how many people will be motivated to go back, because if you talk to any Venezuelans, I only know a couple of them through the horse racing business, they still absolutely love their country. I can't tell you, Tony, how many racehorses right now have Venezuela in their names.
Really?
These guys, every horse that they handle, they want to put that in. It's their, like their tribute to their country that they, you know, just is beloved by all these displaced citizens. So I look for a pretty large migration of people to go back. The oil companies that were already screwed the first time have already given Trump assurances. They will, because Trump said, hey, right now, Venezuela is not profiting anywhere near as much for their oil. Not only that, the fact that that the government has seized it all, but he says, you know, all this infrastructure we put in 25 years ago is completely outdated. If you modernize the refineries and the way that they get the accumulate the resource, he said it's going to be 10 times more productive now. And all of our big oil companies are ready to go back in there because it's going to be big profits for them too. But everybody wins in that scenario. I think it's an amazing thing. You're starting to see new leadership even in the Middle East for all those years. A hardcore, doesn't want to do a deal with anybody from the Western world. All these young guys, the new guys in charge, especially in Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates and other countries that are ridiculously wealthy, they responded to Trump's visit like crazy. And it's amazing. Prosperity trumps a lot of this ideological stuff. If everybody's making money and doing well, you know, all of a sudden you're not all ideological about your type of government anymore. And I think that's the plan, is to bring back the good times there. I was shocked to hear that. And it's good that they produce so much energy and gas is so cheap, but you can't afford anything else. So when people adjust back to that lifestyle and we force an election, let the Venezuelan people, you know, make their decision and stay as long as it takes to make sure the country is stable. There are so many questions for reporters. How are we going to run this country? I think oversee is a better word for it. I don't think any American aspires to run the country. I think though, to ensure stability is in place before just abandoning it, which is the mistake we made in Iraq when we displaced Saddam Hussein. We just left a big vacuum there, anxious to pull all of our people out, and it was a big mistake. And I think a lot of these people, Trump has surrounded himself this time after making terrible errors in 2016 and trusting Washingtonites. He's brought in all of these all-stars, super achievers from all walks of life. I think these people have a lot better perspective of how to do this than when we've tried to do it before. I don't think nation building is the idea. I think giving the country back to the Venezuelans who want to get back to the life that they enjoyed before, the life you described and the life they are celebrating, the possibility that they can resume. I think that's the plan.
And what makes us different? And again, he was talking about turning the Gaza Strip into the Riviera too. And then maybe he could do that with Venezuela, any other country out there. And you know who I'm talking about. If they were in the position that the United States was in, it wouldn't be Venezuela for very long. It would be Russia too. Because they've got, obviously, they've got oil reserves that I didn't realize they got 20% of all the oil. So who wouldn't want that? So the fact the United States just found a wallet with $100 bills on it and they're returning it with nothing missing should tell you just, you know, how good the United States is and how we're doing it. What about this this Maria Machado woman? Tell me about she's anti-Venezuela, whatever, blah, 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 blah. She reminds me of AOC a little bit, just in the fact that she's such a loudmouth and she's saying all these different things.
Well, they gave her the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, I know, right?
Which is absurd. But all the noise she's making is absolute opposition to what they've allowed to happen in her country. So, you know, while she is in that same kind of area where, you know, she always wants to be heard, she's showing a lot of courage because, like I said, in Need to Know, I'm surprised she survived this long because people like her usually would be dealt with. I don't know how she has managed to stay. Maybe she does this from outside the country some, but right now, it would seem to me she represents the feelings of more Venezuelans. All these people celebrating, you know, probably are, you know, maybe she's a little bit of their version of Donald Trump. Maybe not somebody you necessarily like or agree with in terms of style or how they get things done. But at the end of the day, would be a vocal, real leader for the country and probably reflect the values and the wishes of regular Venezuelans. So while she's a rabble rouser, at least her wrath was pointed in the right direction.
And Trump says she seems to be a nice lady, but I don't know if she can run the country.
which is good. She has no political background. She's just an activist.
She really is. But she probably be better off running that country than Maduro was. All right. We got lots of football this weekend. Miami, Ole Miss, Oregon, Indiana, our Final Four. And then, of course, we just found out what an amazing game that was between Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I hope you got a chance to check out the last
time. I watched it.
It was amazing. Greatest last game of any NFL season we've ever seen.
Two different halves. So the first half was just, it was like watching paint dry. It was just awful.
And those poor.
And the second half, it just got completely out of hand. That's how football is. That's how Ole Miss beat Georgia in the playoff game. Yep. Georgia made one fatal mistake. They got in a backyard brawl, you know, free for all Wild West shootout with a team. That's the only way they could win that game. If Georgia just would have lined up and just pounded them physically and not gotten lured into that kind of a pissing match, they'd win. It was the same thing with the Ravens last night. I don't know. Once the dam breaks, it's hard to put that back into the container.
I felt for both kickers. You know, obviously I did a show for 14 years and he's like, that is the worst place in the world, man. When you miss it, but miss the field goal from 44 yards.
Shot.
You got guys that are going to make millions of dollars when you make that. When you make that shot, you got guys that if they go to the playoffs, they're making money. I mean, you got a lot of guys. So, and then of course Crosby, the guy for Pittsburgh who had only missed one in the last 4 years, and he misses the one to make it a 2-point ball game. It was amazing. It was an amazing game. Rams, Panthers, Green Bay, Chicago again, Bills, Jags, San Francisco Eagles, Chargers, New England, Houston Texans, and the Steelers back in. By the way, we had a little play there on K4 Wins. Aaron Rodgers over 231 yards. He flew past that thing. He looked like the old Aaron Rodgers of old last night. He was slinging the ball all over the place. So
I thought there were three absolute locks yesterday. I know the Falcons better than anybody in the country. Yeah, I can tell you, I predicted the week before the Falcons will play their best game of the year against the Rams. They're on Monday Night Football. You heard Case on our podcast saying the Falcons are a disgrace. They've got probably as good a personnel as anybody in the league, and they're 8-9. I said earlier they hired the wrong coach and it really has come back to bite them, but I knew the Saints would cover yesterday. That is so typical Falcons. Beat the Rams, who was at the time the number one seed in the playoffs, and come back, and they did win the game, but they didn't come close to covering 119-17, which even surprised me. But how bizarre was that? The Buccaneers had to win on Saturday to have a chance to win the division, and it came down to two teams who were eliminated to decide who was going to go to the playoffs.
Isn't it great? Isn't it great? I love that. Yeah, I saw seeing Baker Mayfield sit around his kitchen table.
All day. What fantastic. A bummer.
It was, I know.
You did your job. You beat the Panthers, who now they're going to the playoffs.
No doubt. They lose four of their last five, and they're going to the playoffs. And by the way, it's amazing. 3.5, 3.5, 3.5, 1.5, 1.5. And then there's a 10.5. That would be the Rams over the Panthers. And then, of course, in the college ball, both lines now at 3.5, Miami over Ole Miss and Indiana over Oregon, 3.5. So some close ball games coming up. We'll get into it on the starting lineup on ABC 33-40. We also got K4Wins.com. We do a show on Fridays and Tuesdays at 10 o'clock Central Time. We'll do that again tomorrow morning, so we'll get after it and look forward to doing that. My friend, thank you so much. Great show for the New Year's. A great way to kick off 2026. Look forward to having a stellar week.
And one final thought for Alabama fans. Nick Saban's fingerprints on all four coaches in the finals.
How about that?
Cignetti was there 2007 to 2012. Cristobal 2013 to 2018. Our boy Pete. Legends man Pete Golding was there for 4 years up until 2023. And if that's not enough, of course, you've got Dan Lanning, who came out of school and was a graduate assistant to start his career at Alabama. So Nick Saban, I know it's little consolation, Crimson Tide, but his fingerprints are all over this Final Four.
And I'm sure Kai would bring up the fact, Bama fans, Nick Saban is no longer coaching anymore. We realize it, but he still lives. He still lives, brother. He's still out there.
So. Yep. It's been fun.
All right, we'll get it. Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.